a somber hello. No, somber. Terrible word to use. By the way, my voice. This is my voice. Jeffrey, we're just no funny intro, no nothing. Last time we talked to the Jose's, the Terry's, the Scots of the world, you led the show. I had no voice. You had one child. I mean, now you know, some of those things have changed. I still don't have a car, although I am renting. 2 months, Jeff, I believe, is the last time we recorded. A lot has gone on in our lives. Some we may or not share on this pod, but some has happened that we will share. And just the world has changed. Jeff, I've written in the rundown, some stuff has changed. Shows have been binged. Games have been played. Movies have kind of come out. And football stuff has happened too, but there's no, you know, we didn't even cover the draft. I think our last pod was like a week before the draft too, so that's how you know how long ago it was. But we are back, and we're back. It's been so long, Jeff, that I think Jose forgot we were supposed to give him a gift card. That's how long it's been. But, I mean, it's coming. It's coming tonight. I can guarantee that. By the time Jose listens to this, he will be getting some lemon parm, garlic parm, lemon pepper wings from Wingstop, Jeff. Without further ado, let's bring you back in here. The beautiful, dashing, verbose co-host, Jeff, of, by the way, the All the Feels Fantasy Podcast. Welcome.
Well, I am beyond excited to be back with you today on the All the Feels Fantasy Podcast at ATF Fantasy on Twitter. I will have you know that you listed lots of changes, children, babies, homes. I got the invite to the homeowner subreddit. COVID is officially over in California as of 2 days ago. All restrictions.
Wow.
Big time. And I will tell you that there are sparrows whispering in my ear, at least. I'm not sure if they've made it out your way yet. Jose is clamoring and demanding his Wingstop gift card, his Uber in his life. Scott, on multiple occasions, so when are you going to get that? Jose's been asked about that gift card, huh? We're gonna get that out. We're like, we got it, Scott. Okay, we got some things happening in the life. We got the show coming back. You know, lots of girthy rundowns to prepare for. But I don't know what the weather. I mean, we kind of hit the weather always. It has been a hot one out here. Well, not here like in North Carolina, but you've been cooling off with seltzers. Don't I say you're the king of seltzers? You're definitely in a strong top 10 globally for seltzer game. And you made a bold statement, I believe, on Instagram stories. Mike Hard Lemonade, the GOAT of seltzers. I recently tried the Kona seltzer. They kind of like a tiki spin on seltzer. Not sure if that's making out to the old East Coast yet, but I'm intrigued. Mike's Hard Lemonade, Kyle's Killer Lemonade, if you will.
Kyle's Killer. That's a good one. It's a good reference right there.
Good ref.
Yeah, it's a good ref. It's kind of gay, but can we still? I don't know if we can still say that. But so okay, let's take a step back here. I said the GOAT. I guess what I was implying was, you know, Mike's Hard Lemonade itself as a malt beverage, before all the hooey dooies and all these other things that are coming out, I consider the original Mike's Hard Lemonade to be the goat of the refreshing summer malt beverage. Okay? The original. Just
very niche.
Just
very
straight
niche.
Up, like, you know what? You can call it what you want. You can call whoever you want what you drink, what they drink it. If it's 100 degrees outside, if it's a scorcher over there in the Mojave, or, you know, down here in Charlotte, I just want to cool off and drink something nice and light and sugary. And sometimes that's a Mike's Hard Lemonade. Now, the seltzer game has just blew up in the last, 2 years or so. You know, the summer of 2019 or 2018 was there's no laws in the clause or whatever that was. That kind of started it all. In Charlotte, we have the only craft seltzery on the East Coast, as in, you know, craft brewery, but instead it's a seltzer place. Pretty cool. Still have yet to go. But that's just the kind of realm we're working with here. I have definitely dabbled in Mike's Hard Lemonade. It took forever for me to find this. I've seen commercials. I've had to travel to many of a Total Wine. I've gone to different gas stations or beer and wine stores to try to find it. And I found one case left in a Total Wine in deep South Charlotte. And I just had to get it, Jeff. Now, they come with flavors, pineapple, mango, strawberry, and of course, original. Drinking one right now, it's a mango. Mango is the preferred beverage flavor of William when it comes to seltzers. The White Claw Mango reigns supreme over any of their flavors. But in terms of where does this stand, Jeff, I would definitely say it easily cracks a top five. I mean, it's not even, that's not up for debate. But I don't think it has the staying power to dethrone White Claw. And I'll give you this, the reason why. And I don't know if Kona has this, but you can let me know. When these seltzers use stevia, you get that stevia kind of mouth. It's like, it's a weird, it's like not cotton mouth, but it's like a, you know what I'm talking about. It's like a film, right? You get like a light film. And you don't really get that on the strawberry one or any, it's really the original one. You get that for sure, the original flavor. Mm-hmm. But once you get that stevia, like Truly's, those have stevia written all over it. So that's what's keeping it on top. For some reason, though, White Claw, it doesn't have, I don't know if there's stevia in that. I don't think there is. But that doesn't give you that film. And I think that's why stevia, or why White Claw still is number one. Crown is going to be really hard to get off of White Claw.
Got it. So is it that when, I mean, going back to your original statement, I mean, this is where we're coming back to the pod. You know, this is our coming back show, if you will. We're getting bold with our takes later in the pod that we'll get a little tease there. Do you regret the post at all? Do you want to rescind your comment? Or do you view White Claw on its own because it's like a, it's like of the stevia malt refreshing beverages, maybe the GOAT. But, you know, going back to your original statement, is that Claw and the Mike's Hard Lemonade Seltzer aren't in the same realm? Or are you...
Okay, how about this? I'll give you this. Here we go. You ready for this?
Are we in a LeBron situation?
Now here, by the way, did you know that White Claw and Mike's Hard Lemonade made by the same people? All right, to take a step back. Yeah, just let you know that. It's a fact. Look it up. If you take a picture of, let's say I was playing the Super Nintendo, right? And I took a picture of it and I was like, the GOAT. Does that mean the Super Nintendo is the GOAT or just Nintendo? Because, you know, some people might say the Switch is the GOAT. Right, I'm just saying Mike's Hard, the brand, I think it's kind of underrated. It's actually not kind of, it is underrated, but in terms of, like I said, just the originator, the commercials used to be super funny. I think Mike's Hard, I'm not rescinding anything. I have no regrets in Instagram life. All right, no regrets.
No.
All right. So 10 minutes,
bold prediction.
10 minutes of our comeback pod has been spent on Mike's Hard Lemonade. Jeff.
Well, the reason I ask really selfishly is you may or not seen in the group chat, the Perpy Genghis is making a return of epic proportions to Southern California before his trip out to Seymour Johnson out in Carolina, if you will. And so I'm looking for refreshing beverages. We just ran out of our Kona seltzer, so I was, I'm intrigued by the Mike's Hard. I think I'm going to go maybe hit a Total Wine, see if they have it available. I also saw it on Drizzly. So if we need to get real deep in the polls after, but after your review, I don't know. I'm torn.
Yeah.
So,
I'm the Apple TV. I'm the Apple TV of reviewing
that's
these.
True.
Right,
you're intrigued, but once you get through it, you're like, yeah, it was good.
I mean, if I don't know, I feel like they're only going to sell it in like that 12 pack. You know, I wish you could just buy like a single, like White Claw is letting you buy just the flavors now without having to buy the variety. But anyway, I'd be remiss if we just sat talking on this. We'll save it for the September Seltzer Madness pod. Seltzer pod, Jeff. Let's just move on to, I mean, I don't really know where to go next, but you said, let's just talk about TV real quick. Mayor of Easttown, great show. HBO, I mean, once again, coming in the clutch. I had to guess who just for those who don't know, it's just like think of another mystery show, thriller show set in Pennsylvania. And I was a little late to the party. So Jeff was willing to throw me a little 20 spot on Venmo if I could guess, you know, the end or the main mystery. And I did not. I was way off. With that said, Jeff, were you surprised? Were you intrigued? Did you like any of it? Did you hate it? Were the accents too bothersome for you?
No, I really enjoyed it. I thought it was very well written. The pace was very good. I think the character development was also good, but it didn't drag. There wasn't a lot of drag. I always found myself, I didn't binge, and I did kind of the weekly jump in and out and felt myself on Sundays. And with two small kids, it takes a lot to, you know, power up at night to get into an hour-long show. And yeah, we were getting into it. We were enjoying it. I won't sit here and say that the ending was the greatest of all time. You know, it was definitely a twist. Didn't see it coming, but it was kind of like, meh, all right, I see what they're trying to do here. There were definitely breadcrumbs throughout, but I will gladly give anyone any amount of money if they could figure it out. I mean, Shay was going to the last episode thinking that her boyfriend was the one who did it. So, really kept you guessing. Mm. And, you know, Kate Winslet, I told you to watch the like ending review from the actors and the writers and stuff. And then you hear Kate Winslet talk after being used to her having this thick, like, Pennsylvania accent.
Yeah.
Go back to like proper British form. And you're like, oh, wow. Good on you. The dialect coaches were out in full.
Well, I mean, that happens all the time. Like when you see who's the guy who was in Get Out? Daniel Kamala, I think his name is.
Kamala?
Yeah, he's English. Like, that's Oh wow! Spoiler alert. Yeah, listen to him talk.
Oh, wow. There you go. I'll check
that out. Yeah. So it's just
highly recommend. Crazy.
What? Get Out?
Oh yeah.
Or Mare of Easttown. Oh yeah. Sorry, my fault. Mare of Easttown. Oh yeah, for sure. The boyfriend. You're talking about what? The author guy, like the new random dude who came in.
He's like Australian.
Yeah. Oh, he can't ever. Yeah, exactly. But is he really Australian? We should have heard him talk. See what he actually hit. What his? Oh, he was in the after show too. He was in the after show. I don't know what it is. All right, I digress. Jeff, SoFi Stadium. What about it?
Ooh, I will be. I just wanted to tease for all the listeners. I will be taking a tour of SoFi Stadium here in the next couple of weeks. So I will report back on its grandeur, its girth, its musk, its scent. So. Looking forward to it. Is Shay
what's that?
Myself, Papa Murph, and Kyle Murph some all access passes. So we'll be getting. I don't know what that entails. We get to run on the field, do a little tour. Maybe I'll run some deep routes with Matt Stafford. Who knows? We'll see what happens.
Are these are? So I'm guessing these are all Ramses passes, not Chargers.
I don't know how they were billed necessarily. I think we did it because Mike is a Rams fan, so. But to your point, you know, maybe Herbert will be out there and I'll be, you know, guarding Keenan Allen on some rounds.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Give it to him big. I'll do one more thing. And that's I played Fortnite. Yeah, that's a sentence. I played Fortnite about a week ago, I think, maybe 10 days ago with Tommy Bill. Did it for the stream. Played on that for a little bit. And Tommy was great. So he hasn't played Fortnite in forever. He's getting sick of Warzone, I guess. That's why I don't really watch him. I love you, Tommy, but I'm not into that. So he's finally like, all right, I'm trying to switch it up. You know, he's trying to keep people on his toes, his viewers and all that. So he's like, let's play some Fortnite. I was like, okay, I'll hop in. And I think within like 2 minutes of the stream, Tommy's like, and this is why I don't play Fortnite. It was insane. Like, just the crap that goes on in that game now. Like, you know, back in our day, it was just 100 people and you fought each other and that was it. Dude, there's, like, aliens that are, like, picking you up when you're trying to go places. There's, you know, random bots still. But it's just, like, alien spaceships. You'll be, like, you'll drop, let's say, in Pleasant Park or there's a bunch of different places now. And instead, a spaceship will just pick you up and carry you about 300 yards. And you're just like, cool.
Sick.
Need to go walk back over there again. Yeah,
I could see that happening.
Yeah, the people playing, like, so we were playing with a couple random people. It was Tommy was asking everybody, like, hey, you know, like ASL. And one kid was like, I'm 12. And Tommy's like, "And how tall are you?" And I'm like, "Oh my god, like what is happening?" Yeah. And of course, his 12-year-olds are like really good, but it was just like, it was so like loud. There was one kid who was like trolling us, who kept hopping in our party, hopping out, hopping in, hopping out. And Tommy's like, "How do I ban him?" Like, he just kept messing with us. So yeah, I don't know what happened to that game. I wonder, you know, Greg would be a great person to ask this. Greg and Kurt and J-Bell. Because, you know, it's like, what, it's been 15 years since World of Warcraft came out, 16 years, and now they're coming out with, like, you know, they've already come out with, like, World of Warcraft Classic, you know? Yeah. And they're coming out with, like, Burning Crusade Classic, so it's like they're making you repay to, like, play it over, kind of. So what is Fortnite? I mean, is Fortnite gonna do that? Can we get like, you know, in a couple months, Fortnite just goes like Fortnite reforted, $5.99.
You say Fortnite Classic.
Yeah, Fortnite Classic. Hop in when there was literally five weapons. You know, no terrain, just you and the, you know, you and Mother Nature, and I'll hop right back in. But that's Fortnite in review.
Yeah,
not enjoying. You
know, I'm glad. I've been actually been like getting served ads to play Fortnite, and I was just trying to watch these ads. And I was like, "What is happening? UFO that comes over?" And it's like, "What is going on?" A bit too crazy. I think they get caught in that perpetual like release, like the battle pack cycle, right? It's like, we have to do something. We have a new release coming up in this month. What if aliens picked you up? Oh, that would be awesome. It's like, yeah. You know, it just gets – you lose the essence of why it blew up in the beginning. And I would be remiss if I didn't, you know, remind all the listeners about our brief, like, two-episode foray into trying to make this a Fortnite podcast. But yeah. We actually had a rando guest. Shout out to him if you're still a subscriber.
Oh, wow.
But, yeah, some cross-podination on that one. So, yeah. That was the thing that happened on all the Feels Fantasy.
Yeah. We'll see when Fortnite Classic comes out. Maybe we'll get a little donation to that. Music Corner. You know, we had a little Music Corner going on for a while. It was nice. I'm guessing what do you want to know, Jeff? So I went to what the I don't know what you want to call it. The organizer called Emo Night. They do it every couple of months, and this is the first time since COVID that they had it. So it's a big deal. Big, big deal. Where they get they have cocktails, food, lights, disco balls, all this kind of stuff outside. And they just tell you it's not a phase, Mom. They just keep saying that over and over again. And they play what they call emo music. Now, very loose term on that. I mean, now you guys were in the thread where I just kept posting what songs were getting played. But I kind of want to know, do you want to just kind of pick my brain, like, or just give you like a 1 minute overview of how it was?
So I wanted to get your thoughts from really two perspectives. First, your evaluation overall of Emo Night from a spectacle and entertainment perspective. And second, wanted to get your thoughts on the music that was played. Obviously, I was skeptical when you first texted that they were just going to play My Chemical Romance, Fall Out Boy, Blink-182, and then go back to like the hits that the kids like. But I was surprised. They had, I wouldn't say deep cuts, deep pulls, but they played the hits from our era of emo post-hardcore. You know, maybe there were some notable absences, but for the most part, they did a good job of hitting across genres, subgenres of emo music.
I mean, the first thing I'll say is the people, you know, the consumers definitely showed up. Like, they were wearing the proper attire. We're talking black jeans with holes in them. We're talking, you know, shirts with the sleeves cut off. Were, you know, random band shirts, just jean jackets. It was great. It was really good. They showed up. The people showed up. They knew the words. People were ready to party. And yeah, like you said, like, I expected a certain type of music, and then maybe at times I was like, why are they playing, you know, What's My Age Again by Blink-182? Like, I get it. That was the years of like our high school days, but that wasn't, or, you know, whatever days that was. But no one's going to sit back here and tell you, yeah, the playlist has Taking Back Sunday and Blink-182. I was very surprised. I think how long certain songs took to show up. But so what happened was, a long short of it, was there was two different DJs. The first DJ, she was definitely playing the randos. Like random Panic at the Disco, random Paramore, you know, songs that were just like, you know, she was just songs she liked. And the last song she played before she went off was A Day to Remember. But if she was playing, I believe it's called, what is it? If I Leave This, whatever, you know, the one where they go like, they just do like na 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 over and over again.
You know? Oh, yeah, the slow song,
yeah,
ballad.
Yeah. And I'm just like, oh my gosh. But then, like, it's like halfway through that song, the regular DJ comes up and he just goes like, all right, like, I'm going to cut this song short if that's okay. And he just like fades, but then he fades into Downfall of Us All. And I was like, oh, all right. It's like, he's like, all right, we're starting now. So once he took over, that's when Under Oath, Hawthorne Heights, Taking Back Sunday, those kind of, I mean, they did play some random, like, what'd they play? They played Escape the Fate, which I thought was really random. They played some bands that were good. The songs are great. I mean, listen, it was like you played a hit list and you wanted a bunch of songs. I think I texted you they played Silverstein, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Great, great time. I think the people that, I mean, what made it was the people. I think that's all that matters. And I would definitely go again. And I think next time, though, so last time I had a table. I think next time I'm going up front, if you know what I'm saying.
I get what you're saying, brother.
Picking up what I'm putting down, brother. You smell what I'm stepping in?
I smell it.
But Emo Night, love it, love the music, and I did play, you know, I played some more of that music when I got in the car, because you can't just get it out of your head, you know what I'm saying? Drink some of this.
Yeah, of course. You just, like we spoke about months ago, the 2000 Screamo playlist, you listen to it once, and you start going down rabbit holes.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
So, sounds like it was a success. Venture to say I probably won't be attending any emo nights in the near term. Maybe when the kids are a bit older, more manageable, we can get out to an emo night here in Southern California. But we have gone a minute, Will, without even talking about the NFL fantasy football. But that's how we do it at the Old Miss Fantasy. That's that ATF Fantasy on Twitter. We like to hear all aspects of the fantasy life. Because a lot has happened.
Yeah.
Where do we even begin in the NFL? I don't think there's any value we could really provide anyone by trying to review the draft this far out.
Oh, no.
I mean, we're already into mini camps. We're almost into training camps. You know, we will not be discussing Rodgers or any speculation about that. Julio Jones moving to the Titans, I think, was the post-draft biggest move. And Le'Veon Bell being a donkosaur. Anything I missed from a NFL news perspective that you wanted to hit?
No, I think we're going to touch on some of that right now, because we're going to go into some like bold predictions. And I think when we go into our bold predictions, some of those moves will take shape, right? Like we'll be like, you know, I think this team's going to, you're going to talk about Goff for some reason, for some godly reason, you're going to bring up Jared Goff. You know, that's a move. I mean, we covered it, but it's still going to be part of, you know, some of the moves that happened in the offseason. I'm going to talk about one of my bold predictions has to do with the draft pick in the AFC North. So, you know, we'll get there. We'll just kind of, you know, tinker. We're going to roll with the punches here. All right. So I'd say we just get right into it, because we still have girthy segments to go through, and I have no idea how long these are going to take, Jeff. I'm just going to start it off first, and I'm going to go with the NFC West here, because yours is bold, and I think both of ours are equally bold. We'll start with mine. I think the Seahawks finish in last place in that division. Granted, it's a very tough division. They could finish 6-11, 7-10. They could finish, and they would be in last place. That's my bold prediction. The Russell Wilson thing, the offensive line thing, their defense thing. They still don't have any pass rushers, I think. I don't know. Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf can only carry a team so far with Russell Wilson. Their running back situation is still whatever. A lot has happened. I think they finished in last place, and I think Russell Wilson's still trying to get out of there, even if he's trying to say otherwise, Jeff.
Yeah. I agree. It is definitely the thinnest roster in an overall stacked division. But yeah, I could see them happening in last place, which is crazy to think about given their success as a perennial playoff team. You said mine was bold. I said that the Rams don't make the playoffs. This is a bold prediction, but kind of like what you talked about on the Seahawks, I think there are definitely holes on the Rams that get masked by the big names. Like, obviously, Donald, Jalen Ramsey. Now they have Stafford. They obviously have Woods and Cooper Kupp on the receiving end. But let's not forget the Sean McVay offense, and when they were successful, was predicated on a good offensive line and a great running game because they had Todd Gurley running behind it. And now everyone is all about Cam Akers. And look, I, coming out of last year, thought he would be a great fantasy option. But have you seen where he's getting drafted? I mean, the guy's going in the third round now. It's a bit crazy. But I think they're probably still going to go with the rotation. Daryl Henderson will work in there. I just don't think the offensive line and the system will be enough to take them to the Super Bowl. And if I'm going to be bold, they're a couple injuries away. They're an Aaron Donald who has just been super healthy. Maybe he's an Iron Man and doesn't miss any time. But if he misses games, you know, they could be exposed for a team. I also believe they got rid of some of their kind of overperforming linebackers in the recent free agency. So the defense may not be, and also the defensive coordinator gone. So bold prediction, not making the playoffs. Again, it's a tough division. They'll probably be challenging for a wild card at a minimum. I think the 49ers will get healthy and make it back to kind of being the number one team in that division, or at least close to it. So yeah, Rams not making the playoffs. Unless we forget the Cardinals.
The NFC West podcast. I will put it on a Google Doc. I think the Rams not only make the playoffs, I think they win at least one playoff game too.
Well, this is bold predictions. This isn't things I would bet on.
Oh, okay. I am the Rams hater. You know that. We can dial back this pod 3 seasons. But I love Stafford. I hope. I mainly just hope he does good. But well, you said bold predictions. Let's keep it moving. This one, NFC East. You said the NFC South one was hard. I thought this one was hard because technically anything can be bold since it's so crappy of a division. You know what I mean? Like, I was just like, I don't know. Like, so I'm gonna just say 2 teams make the playoffs. Since, you know, the playoff winner last year was 8-8 or whatever they ended up being, 9-7. So I'm going to say 2 teams make the playoffs. Which two? I don't know. But 2 are going to make the playoffs. That's my bold, crazy, wacky prediction.
So which 2 teams? It could be.
Oh, I got a pick?
Well, I mean, do we want to. My bold is that the Washington football team repeats as the conference champion. You know, they got Fitzmagic coming in. They got Scary Terry, Antonio Gibson. They got a really solid underrated defense. I think, you know, what they lack in star power of the Cowboys, they make up in Ron Rivera. And so that's why I think they'll repeat, and I think the Cowboys will just be a disaster.
I mean, if I were to pick 2, I guess I would go with Cowboys and Giants. That's what I'm going to do for my
Giants.
2. Yeah, the Washington football team, I love them. I love Fitzpatrick, but we know that he is Cinderella. He'll turn to the pumpkin at some point, and it'll be sad. Even though he is, I've mentioned a million times, and I'll keep mentioning it, he is like a top 25 passer of all time now, statistically. Yep. He has more touchdowns than Troy Aikman. He's about to catch up to Joe Flacco, I believe, in touchdown passes, barring Joe Flacco.
Isn't he about to pass John Elway too, or didn't he?
I don't think that. I mean, if he does, maybe he'd have to throw. I think he's about to pass Steve Young. That's the one I think he's about to pass. Anyway, I'll look it up at some point. But yeah, he's just because he's played so long, and yeah, it's fun. I think it's fun to root for stuff like that. So you think Washington's going to repeat because they have too much Ron Rivera? Give me your NFC North one. This is bold.
This is you look at it, to not talk about Aaron Rodgers, if that situation does not pan out and, we're getting the Jordan Love experience, I said that your boy, Jared Goff, is the best statistical QB in the division. And I would really think his only assuming that Justin Fields does not set the world on fire. I mean, he only has to beat out then Jordan Love, Andy Dalton, and Kirk Cousins, which I think is quite feasible. Given, I don't know who he's going to be throwing it to. Kenny Golladay, I think, is still there. So
no, he's not.
He's not. He's not throwing to anyone, but he'll
I think Amendola. I think Amendola's corpse is still running around back there.
That's Danny Playoff Amendola.
Tyrell Williams.
Oh, so there you go. You got a mediocre deep threat.
Hawkins.
And you got someone to dump the ball off. What else?
Wow, Goff loves to dump the ball off. Okay, or when you said or, and you have another one, so you think one of these two are going to happen?
I was going either or, and since we alluded to it earlier in the pod, but I'll go with my second one just to throw it out there because it is bold and it has fantasy implications. I think Adam Thielen is being just terribly overlooked. We got to remember, yes, Justin Jefferson had a breakout. He looks awesome. He's being drafted as someone who could challenge as the number one overall wide receiver. And people are forgetting how good Adam Thielen was when he was healthy two seasons ago and consistently healthy, which I think has been his knock. Just a reliable catcher of the ball, good route runner. And I said he will have a better fantasy season than Justin Jefferson. And you can get him several rounds later. So,
wow. So I'm going to bounce off yours. So I think the NFC North prediction is, for me, the Vikings are going to win the division, which not super bold. But also, this is an and.
Ooh.
Thielen and Jefferson combined for 30 touchdowns. I mean, that's Jefferson getting 16 and Thielen getting 14 or something like that. So that is, and I think Kirk Cousins is going to be the best one statistically, whether or not they win 14 games or 11 or whatever. Because their defense isn't great still, even though they put a lot of effort into rebuilding it. And yeah, that's an amazing 1-2 punch. Would you rather have Thielen and Jefferson or Julio and AJ Brown?
Julio and AJ Brown.
Oh, wow. Well,
just from physical prowess.
But yeah, definitely Musk and Gurthy there. Let's see if the Vikings can rebound with their defense, because then, like you mentioned, the Jordan Love stuff, the Andy Dalton stuff, this division is pretty terrible. If Aaron Rodgers doesn't play, this division is gonna be a stinker. So the Vikings don't win it. It's just, I mean, it could be Chicago's to take too if Fields is anything like he's supposed to be and does get to play. NFC South, I think mine's pretty bold. You love it?
Love it.
I mean, this is bold. I think Kyle Pitts, the number four overall pick by the Atlanta Falcons, the stud tight end, the can't-miss prospect that they say comes once every 15 years, even though every year they say that.
Yeah.
I think Kyle Pitts sucks. And I'm not going to put a number on it. I'm just going to say he sucks. Does he catch four touchdowns, five touchdowns? Sure. Does that mean he's good? No. I think he sucks. I'm going to say, maybe 400 yards, 35 catches, a lot of drops.
Yep.
Now that if Julio was still there, then maybe I think Kyle Pitts doesn't suck. But now it's a Calvin Ridley and Kyle Pitts show with the running back they got, Mike Jones, or Mike, wait, is that right? Mike Davis. Mike Jones. Mike Davis. I mean, come on now. So there you go. Kyle Pitts sucks. Don't draft him.
Love the take. I feel like every year, one of the biggest tropes that goes under the radar is every tight end comparison to Gronk. Just he's not exactly a Gronk. He's like a more athletic. He's like a Kittle kind of thing.
And now it's Kelsey. Kelsey Kittle, yeah.
Yeah, everyone. OJ Howard, that's all you got to say.
He was billed as
once in a generational, I can't miss, has done nothing.
TJ Hockenson was drafted ninth overall, Vernon Davis was drafted fifth, I think. You know, I mean, Vernon Davis just retired, but I think he did. But yeah, I mean, there's tight ends every year. Every year there's a tight end. I mean, let's be just calm down. Calm down.
He's automatic. But tight end is such a wasteland that any shiny object is like, oh, well, he could challenge Waller for the number, you know, three or four position this year. It's like, okay, let's have him take a couple snaps, see if he can block it all out.
Yeah, seriously. By the way, played in, you know, all right, your turn. I don't want to get into it anymore. I don't care. College sucks.
This was a tough division for bold predictions. You went bold. I didn't think about that one, and I liked it. I would steal it if I could. But I went with Famous Jameis. In a division that has I'm blank. I tried to do a Sam Darnold take, but didn't get behind it. And so I essentially was like, okay, there's Tom Brady. And I said, okay, Tom Brady was amazing from a statistical perspective last year, but I think Jameis gets out of the 40-40 club.
It's 40-40.
And he's a better statistical quarterback this year than Tom Brady or Matt Ryan. So,
or Taysom Hill. I mean, on his own team.
Or Taysom Hill, yeah.
Tough to argue that one. I mean, I think Sam Darnold would have been bolder if you said that one.
I did. I wrote that at first, and then I deleted it because I was like, he was literally the worst quarterback from any metric standpoint last year. So.
Yeah, but he's out of the Adam Gase zone, and you know, yeah, when people get out of the Adam Gase zone,
offensive line, that's terrible. So,
yeah, I mean, can't really. Yeah, going from the third worst to the fourth worst, not really going to help.
That's true.
All right, AFC side, AFC East. I don't know if this is bold. I think maybe the second half is bold. I don't know. I thought this one was hard because I didn't want to be like, oh, the Jets will win six games, because I don't think they will. So I'm gonna go the Patriots. So it's another two thing, another twofer. So the Patriots make the playoffs, which, I mean, they kind of bold. But also with no players relevant in fantasy football. So they're 8 running backs, they're 40 wide receivers. Maybe they switch between Cam Newton and Mac Jones. I guess their defense can count as fantasy relevant, but that doesn't count to me. Especially if you do best ball, if you know what I'm saying. So I'm thinking the Patriots make the playoffs and no superstar statistical players on that team.
Yeah, I would think that's bold. So are you saying this is a Cam-led team? Are you going Mac Jones? Are you going combination?
I don't know. What I know is that they are going to do what they have to do to win the game. So if they have their kicker throw some touchdowns because both quarterbacks suck, then that's what's going to happen. But they're going to win some games. Just going to put their nose the grindstone, you know?
Yeah.
They're going to say 1 week at a time. You know, they're looking forward to Miami. They're on to Cincinnati. They're not going to announce quarterbacks. And they're going to, you know, they'll run one of their running backs for 200 yards and four touchdowns. And then they'll bench him the next week. So, yeah, that's what I'm going with here.
It is bold. I went with a take that I just want to, you know, because curse of the pod. I wrote this a couple days ago when I added some girth out to this pod. And then we get a report that there have been monsoons in Miami at minicamp and Tua Tagovailoa is throwing all types of interceptions.
Solid pronouncing.
Thank you. Practice that in the mirror. Professional pod here. I think he's going to be benched by week two. Maybe I shouldn't have put an actual date on it. He will be benched at some point in the season for a non-injury reason. But I went bold week two. And I think that the coach and the GM see what they have a couple weeks, and they've had enough. So
who's their backup?
You know, at this point, may not even be on the team.
You don't know? You really don't know? Because, I mean, they've talked about that for a second on ATN. Me off a piece.
Oh, that Brisket.
Yeah, little Jake Brisket, little Jacoby Brissett. I mean, I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm not saying you're right. But what I'm saying is, if they, I can see now why, I can see this, the web has been woven. Mm-hmm. Because they went from Ryan Fitzmagic, who obviously tremendously talented in terms of ceiling, but also the floor is awful. So now they're going, we're going to get the safest thing you can get. We're going to get Mr. Vanilla Jacoby Brissett. He's going to run around. He's not going to throw interceptions. He's going to take care of the ball. He's not going to make stupid decisions. And we'll let the defense and the running game kind of win us games if we have to, with the brisket. So I think that's kind of their strategy going into it. If they think Tua obviously can't get a grasp of the playbook. And of course, you know, he wasn't healthy last year, even though when he was getting drafted, he was healthy. So
Of course. No concerns from the doctor's staff. Yeah. Let's go AFC West. In a division of talent, of much of presence, Keenan Allen, oft underrated, I believe. I say he's the highest scoring wide receiver or tight end.
That's insane.
Fantasy in the division.
That is so bold.
Bold.
I can't disagree with you, but with like you said, as much talent as there is in that division, definitely not in a best ball league where you're getting 4.5 points per catch for a tight end. But I that is bold. I don't see it happening, but hey, if it does happen, that's great. Good on the Chargers and good on that SoFi tour. Maybe you can give them some, you know, special hints and tricks when you're out. Tips when you're doing there.
Yeah, we'll run some tour. Shadow drills in pads, and we'll see. I'll give him some tips.
I do like that thing because I'm going Darren Waller just straight up outscores Travis Kelce. I think that's bold. They were actually pretty close last year, but I mean, you know, Travis Kelce's going in the first round right now, especially in best ball, which maybe we might have, you know, a little tease for later. But Darren Waller outscores Travis Kelce. I know we got to speed along a little bit, so I'm going to go with my AFC North one. And hey, see, who said we weren't talking draft? I had a Kyle Pitts one, and now I got a Najee Harris. I mean, look at my bold predictions. Ready? Najee Harris, he sucks. That's another one. The Steelers' offensive line is terrible. I guess they want to go back to being that running style team, but they lost both their tackles. They lost the guard. And they're going to think this guy's going to come and save the day. And I don't really know what sucks is. I put 800 yards, which now that I'm thinking about it, I forgot 17 games. That's what, 50 yards a game? That's terrible. So
yeah, let's do that.
So 800 yards or less. Touchdowns are not really a good factor for running backs because you could get a bunch of 1 yard touchdowns. But I think he sucks. There you go.
Yeah, definitely some talent on the wide receiver end. The running back depth chart, not great for the Steelers, which may be his only saving grace, maybe a volume play. But yeah. I agree, he's being way overdrafted. The other one that I could say is this Travis Etienne. I mean, his name is very hard to pronounce, but I don't think he's going to do anything in the short term, and he's being drafted pretty high. I get it. They're shiny objects. They could pan out. But 8 times out of 10, you just go with the sure thing. AFC North, I went with a Big Ben play. I think it's all eyes on Big Ben. We might even have do we have Big Ben here with us? Oh wow. Big Ben here. Look at that. He's laughing, having a good time. He's back from injury. You know, all the chips are stacked against him. All the chips.
Not all the chips.
Yeah, no, we don't need to dive back into those details. Big Ben, he's making one last go of it, and I think he's going to be the best quarterback in this division. Not necessarily from a fantasy perspective because he doesn't run, but from a passing perspective, I think you look at the Baker Mayfields and you look at Lamar Jackson and potentially the Bengals getting their rookie back healthy. I think it was
Joey Burrow was pretty badass last year for 5 weeks or so, and you know, they destroyed the Titans that one. I think they beat the Titans by like 40 points one game. behind him. So that's a bold prediction. Big Ben.
The Bengals.
Yeah, very, very, very bold. Last ones for us both. The most exciting division. That's why it's last. AFC South. I had a rough couple months here. And my saving graces, of course, were Kurt and Muff going to Vegas. They were going to make some sports bets for me. And I'm going to take to my grave that I really wanted to hammer the Texans under. And they did not. They did not do anything for me. They were too busy playing Buffalo and kept saying sports are dead. And I had a really rough couple months, and I hope they listen to this and realize all I wanted to do was bet the Texans under. Just minus 110, I'm sure it was, or whatever. And I think they're going to win two games. There's 17 games. I think they're going to win two. Ooh. So there you go.
That's tough to do. I mean, especially with this new season, depending on how the schedule works out with the teams, they're going to face a couple of people who probably aren't trying to get out to Cabo. And they could pull out a victory here or there. But two wins, I would say it's bold. Mine, I just went bold. Everyone in their mom thinks this is the Titans division to lose. And the Colts, you know, who knows with the reunion of Frank Reich and Carson Wentz could be spicy. They have a good defense. Everyone's written off the Texans. The Jags. Ooh-wee. Not sure about their defense, but their offense. They got some, you know, they got some names on the O-line. They got Andrew Norwell coming in. They got the previously mentioned Travis Etienne, but get him out of there. James Robinson was a beast in the game.
I know. What the heck?
We got DeChark, Marvin Jones, LaVisca Chenault. I mean, ooh, a spicy little matchup.
Talk about that. That guy's getting
I'm not even going to mention the fourth string tight end that could be making appearances for jersey reasons. But, I mean, even if Trevor Lawrence doesn't pan out, you go back to the Minshew Mania, they got C.J. Beathard on the third string. Come on. Carlos Hyde is on this team? I mean, ooh.
Carlos Hyde.
Talent just dripping from the bench. Yeah, I mean, it's bold. It's bold because I think they're being chalked up again, and they probably have every reason why they have holes. You got to go against the grain somewhere, and this is why I did it. Jags win the division.
Right now, the Jags are 8-1 odds to win the division. The Texans, 28 to 1. But I'll give you this. If you wanted to parlay the Washington football team and the Jaguars to win their divisions, you need them both to win their divisions, you would get 31-1 odds. That's pretty spicy if you could do that on the DraftKings Sportsbook app, which only works in like three states.
Hey, speaking of that, the unofficial sponsor, DraftKings, you know, depending on what comes out with, I just read a very scandalous report of their financial and business structure. But hey, they're still the unofficial sponsor of the pod. That's a clean app, right?
It is very clean. I like it.
I was like, come on, legal. I went on there and I was like, oh, let's see. Maybe it's overseas and I can do something. And I was all the way to the end and they did not allow me to make a 4-1 bet of Chelsea to win the Champions League in regular time. But it's a clean app. I like how you can, like you said, you can kind of make those parlays pretty quickly. And
yeah,
it will be dangerous once it gets legalized. Only a matter of time, Boyle.
I mean, let's hope it's before the season starts, before we end this pod. If you wanted to make a nice little this is fun, a little division bet. Just try to pick division winners, right? I picked 1, 2, 3. I did 6 of the 8. I did Washington, the Bills, the Titans, the Rams, the Panthers, and the Vikings. The Panthers, spicy 11-1. If all those hit, the parlay is, oh my God, I can't even, like, it's such a big number. Let's see, I'll just put in a number to see. $10 would win you $14,000. So there you go. So that's what, 1,400-1 odds. 1,400-1 odds. If, I got those 6 division winners right. So there you go. Yeah, that'd be fun.
I think the Panthers one is what's driving that one up. If you did the Bucks, what would it be?
If I did the Bucks, let's see. The great thing about this app, Jeff, you can just hit the X and you go back just like that. So right now, if I did the Bucks instead, It is now, yeah, definitely. It, now it's, what was it before? 1400 to 1?
14.
Oh, yeah. Now it's only 177 to 1.
Oh.
Yeah, so 10, yeah, $10 wins you, $10 wins you $1,700 instead of, you know, $14,000.
Yeah.
Yeah, but there you go. Thank you, DraftKings, for that app. Maybe if ever drive across, I know, I think Virginia has it, so I can just, you know, take a 3-hour drive up north.
There you go.
Just do it there. Jeff, plenty of girth. We didn't even touch on fantasy, but we do have some bold predictions that have to do with it. We got to fix this internet connection, though. We will get it settled. This is our first, you know, it's been a while. I think Zencaster was kind of worried that we were never going to show back up, just like Jose.
Yeah.
But I think we were able to do it, Jeff, and it's unfortunate to me because I forgot about all these sounds that we could have been playing. But, you know, maybe that's what shocked it, too. We're back, Jeff. Any closing comments on this pod for what has been a long time coming?
Well, excited to be back, first of all. Hearing your voice, your muscles missed you. I'm excited for fantasy. I'm excited for best ball.
Yeah, I mean, we can't
I'd say we do multiple best ball leagues, sprinkle a couple drafts. I mean, it's great podfather, bring in different guests. I'm looking forward to that. We're going to hit the ground running. If you want a podcast for your league, reach out to us. We'll do it. We'll do our
priority. Yeah. That's what we got. Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah.
We are getting into, you know, training camp started. That means fantasy bold takes are starting. Everything's coming back in. The ship's coming. Raft pool's coming. As a dad with two kids, I mean, it's the only thing I got to look forward to. So let's get it popping, Will.
Last thing I was going to say, you did, before we go, I was looking at the rundown. It's been deleted since, but you said, what was it? It was like drafting with Will or drafting with, on Will's team? What was that about?
Oh,
was like,
no, it's still there.
Oh, I missed it.
I didn't know, I would have to go back into the annals of history and confirm, but I know at least one of my two ship championships, we drafted five together.
That was in Bristol.
Yes.
Yes, and that was you and Shay. Like, yeah.
That extra little bit of Shay nagging and you being there and our banter, that's what took it to the next level. That's what I've been missing, I feel like.
I see. I think that's it. Because it's different. Because if live draft, they're two in different ones. They're like, are we drafting with multiple people on via Skype or whatever? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Or in person, or, you know, me and you just kind of on our own with a guest. Last year it was Joe, who helped us with our DJ Chark, jersey, which maybe we'll get one day. But the nagging is curious because, yeah, she was nagging and you were like, I got to focus. And you drafted Matt Forte, I think, in the second round. That was your key to victory.
Mm-hmm.
What a time to be alive. Best ball. Can't wait. The pod is back. We will make it happen. Thanks for listening. ATF Fantasy on Twitter. And Jose, just be on the lookout, my niche. Peace.
Peace out.